And if you are a veteran in the House, I salute you for what you have done for this country. Pastor John and Christine are at a family function, I think up in Virginia somewhere, so they asked me to speak today. And so I have been trying to be diligent with what the Lord would have me to do. And so I'm just going to take a few minutes and share a little bit with you, and hopefully you'll get something out of it. You know, for you folks that are visitors here, welcome. There's a few of you folks I don't know, but there's a few of you folks I do know. And then there's a few of you folks I've known probably too long, huh? if you don't know it, we are blessed to have this place because we have a pastor. We have pastors, excuse me. We have pastors that love the Lord and let the Lord do whatever he wants in a church service, and that is so refreshing because there's a lot of places that doesn't happen. And so I'm just thankful for that, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to share. I mean, I don't get to do it very often anymore. I used to do it kind of regular when we were attending another church, and some of you folks are aware of that because you were in my classroom. So I have a test for all you people that were in my class. Okay, let's see. And I'm sorry, son, but you can't participate. You're going to have to be. That's right. Okay, so I have three important questions for you. Okay, let's see if you can get it right. What does this mean? And what does this mean? Okay, now here's the important question. What does this mean? You got to go to the bathroom. Okay. See, I know you know how to retain things. Good. That's good. That's good. Before we break with a word, something I would just like for you to put into your prayer time, if you would. This young man right over here, he rarely gets to come to service because of his job. So about the only time you might see him is during a holiday or holiday weekend, or he just takes the Sunday off so he can come. And he's believing God to change his work hours, not to change his job, just to change his work hours. So I would ask in your prayer time if you would just get in agreement with him over that. So he can be here, okay? Didn't mean to embarrass you, but all right. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this gathering in your name. And Father, I thank you that you are here with us. And as always, we welcome the opportunity to come together and worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, I just ask that you keep me out of the way during this time, and Holy Spirit, that the things that you would prompt me to say are from you and not from me, and that you would receive all the glory, and that our eyes and ears would be open to the word, that we can receive revelation from you in this time. And in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. You'll see me do this a lot because I have to have readers, and so I'll probably just prop them right there and leave them, okay? What I want to talk to you about this morning can sometimes be a little controversial because it's depending on what kind of background you have. You may know a little, you may know a lot. But this church being and I won't know that I'll characterize it correctly with the words, but being a full gospel Pentecostal type church, the gifts of the Spirit move here. Okay? The Lord does things here. And depending on which type of background you have, you know, you get saved, and then the next thing people would talk to you about is getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And sometimes we get so hung up on the tongues part that we think that that we have arrived when we can speak in tongues. But let me tell you, first off, the Holy Ghost is not tongues, and tongues is not the Holy Ghost, okay? They're two separate things. And we don't want to say that the tongues is the inroad of the Holy Ghost, but that's not true because really the Holy Ghost is trying to use tongues to get you to an inroad. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I don't want to get hung up on the tongues part. I want to talk about what's going on when that's going on, okay? That's what I want to talk about, okay? So if you got a Bible, turn over to 1 Corinthians, and I'm using an iPad, and I've never used an iPad when I talk, So you're going to have to bear with me a little bit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 says, "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eyes not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of a man that's in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual." Now, a couple of quick things here, then we're going to go into another verse. Did you happen to see in verse 7, it says, "We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." You won't see that much in Scripture talking about our glory. We always talk about God's glory. In this case, it's talking about our glory. And we're speaking wisdom. So there's a wisdom for our glory. Just think about that a second. There's a wisdom for our glory. All right? And that wisdom has been revealed to us through the Spirit, is what the verse says. All right? In verse 10. In verse 12, and listen, I'm going to be holding a lot of this kind of stuff right here, so just, you know, if that rattles or whatever, it's just me. Verse 12 says that we might know the things that are, according to what verse 9 says, already prepared. It says before the ages. It's already prepared. But it says we might know. So if we might know, then there's a possibility we might not know. Right? Okay. So what we're seeing from this passage of Scripture here is that the Holy Spirit is coming to us with information that we might know, right? So you could say that the Holy Spirit is our information center, right? All right. All right, now let's go to a very unusual place. Let's go to the book of Ecclesiastes. All right, if you don't know where that is, that's right after Proverbs. For me, it's real easy. Y'all, I got to do scroll. All right, third chapter of Ecclesiastes, the first verse. All right. "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." And then it gives you all these different things that are there's a time for, right? Then go down to verse 11. Verse 11 says, "He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity in our hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end." All right, now skip down to verse 16. I'm sorry, verse 15, excuse me. "That which is has already been." Did you catch that? That which is. That's like right now, that which is, has already been. "And what is to be has already been." So according to God, what's going on right now has already been. And what's going to go on later in the future has already been. So it's all in his rearview mirror, right? It's all past tense to God, right? And that's something we need to hang on to when we're as we go through this, and then after you leave this place, you need to understand that it's all past tense to God. Right? Okay. Let's go one more place. Flip over to Isaiah. Isaiah. The 46th chapter, I'm sorry. So it's all past tense to God. So did you know that God has no future? That God doesn't grow? God doesn't learn? And you've heard pastors say this. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? I know that is kind of funny, but if you think about it, nothing's ever occurred to God. God don't learn anything. Why? Because he knows everything. He don't grow. Okay? And he doesn't increase. Okay? All right, Isaiah 46, verse 9. So what is it about God? He doesn't grow, he doesn't learn, he doesn't increase. What makes him different from any other God, small g, right? What makes him any different? All right? Here's God. He says, I'm God, right? For I am God, verse 9, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. So what separates him from everybody else? Verse 10, I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done. I declare the end from the beginning. Everybody else starts at the beginning and works to the end, but God Jehovah doesn't do that. He starts at the end and works to the beginning. In other words, everything's past tense with God, right? All right? So, Father, I ask you to bless the reading of your word today, that we receive it, and you will give us revelation of it in Jesus' name. Let me change pages here. I got so much information here, I don't want to skip anything, but I know I ain't going to get to it all, so I'll probably have to end up picking and choosing, but Jesus Christ, a little definition here, and I'm saying this because I don't want to take anything for granted, right? Jesus Christ, he doesn't have a first name and he doesn't have a last name, right? We know that. He's Jesus the Christ. That's who he is, right? Jesus Christos, the anointed one. And what's he anointed with? He's anointed with the anointing. So it's Jesus the Christ, or Jesus the anointed, or Jesus the anointed one and his anointing. He has an anointing, right? Jesus the man came, died, rose again, and went to be with the Father, and now he's our intercessor. He ever lives to intercede for us. So let me ask you this. What about the anointing? What is it doing? Because you've got Jesus, the man, but you've also got Jesus, the Christ. That's his function. That's what that means. The Christ is his function. But that anointing is still working in the earth. It's still working. It will continue to work. Okay? So don't get hung up on the fact that, hey, Jesus has gone up there, but see, there's still something else going on in the earth tied in with him, and it's his anointing. All right? Pastor has, I guess, for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, he did a study in the book of Ephesians. You know, we went through Ephesians verse by verse, lots of stuff, right? And I don't know if he said it, but I know I've heard it, that Ephesians is the in Christ book, because there's a ton of verses in there that says blah, 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 in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. Well, basically what it says in there, it says who you are in Christ, what you are in Christ, and what you can do in Christ. Well, there is no reason why when you read verses like that, that you can't say, well, let's jump out of Ephesians and go to Philippians. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? I can do all things through the anointing who strengthens me. Because if you know Jesus, you have an anointing, okay? So everybody in this room has an anointing. And we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. But the fact is, you can go over to the book of Ephesians, and this is what I like to do. I like to read it in the first person. I know it's written to the church, but it's better if you read it in the first person in every place you can submit your name in there. That's what you need to do, because that's a great way to confess the word over yourself. But when you get to those verses that says, in Christ, and it's talking about what you can do, it's what you can do in that anointing that he brought. So when you read those verses, every time you see that, you ought to inject that and get that down into your spirit, man. It'll start bringing things back up out of your spirit, man. Because Pastor has said it many times, and I think maybe the last time I got to teach, we need to know who we are. We need to know what we are. But most importantly, we need to know what we can do in Christ, in the anointing, not of ourselves, but in him and that anointing, okay? So it's important, yeah, you read your Bible, but you know, a lot of times you need to take some carve out time and read what the word says about you. Because there's a lot of things that we don't know about ourselves, spiritually speaking, and we need to know. So when we're studying, that's the things we need to do. Okay? So you have Jesus. God sends his son and his anointing to the earth, right? And I'm going to stay with my paper on this so I don't mess this up. He sends Jesus and his anointing to the earth to extend his kingdom, extend his rule, if you will. He came to bring us something. If you do any studying, you'll find out that the kingdom of God tells you where or who it comes from, and the kingdom of heaven tells you where it comes from when you're reading scriptures. But he has come with an anointing to the earth to extend his rule. To the point that when he was talking to his disciples, he said, hey, this is how you pray. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've prayed that prayer since I was 9, 10 years old, playing peewee baseball. Before we even started playing, we all huddled up and everybody prayed the Lord's Prayer. That was just what we did then. Had no clue what we were talking about, but we prayed it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So God extends his rule into the earth through his son, who is an anointed. And God's warning sons. That's why he sent Jesus, right? In fact, when God creates Adam, that's the first son, right? Because Jesus is referred to as the second Adam a lot of times. God creates Adam after his likeness and after his kind. And then Adam sins, for lack of a better term. That's really what he does. He goes against what God tells him to do. And he loses his God kindness, if you will. If you study that over in Genesis, the first three chapters over there. And then so we go for thousands of years and we don't see anybody of the God kind like Adam was till Jesus shows up. And when Jesus shows up, you can read it in the Gospels, people say, well, what manner of man or what kind of man is this? Because they hadn't seen anything like him before. What kind of man has this type of authority with his words? What kind of a man can speak to a storm and it ceases? What kind of a man can speak to a tomb and a guy get up and walk out of it? They'd never seen that kind or manner of man before. And in Hebrews, it says that it was fitting that the Lord suffer. So, and let me read this so I won't mess it up. It was fitting to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering in bringing many sons to glory. Many sons. If you want to produce fruit, right? Many. You plant a seed. You plant a seed, you produce, right? God planted his seed in his son. And from his son came many sons. Many sons. John 12:24. If a grain of wheat falls to the ground, dies, and it stands alone. But if alone, it brings forth much grain or fruit. Talking about us. That was Jesus making those comments. So the idea from God is, hey, I don't want you just to have fire insurance and get you in church. He's wanting sons. Sons. Now, you know, over in Romans 8:14, it says, those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And you understand that that's not gender, right? That's a position. Sonship in God is a position. There's bukus of the children of God, but there's lesser of the sons of God because not everybody is led by the Spirit of God. You know, you can be saved and not be led by the Spirit of God after you're saved. You can get saved and that's the end of it. But the Scripture says if you are led by the Spirit, then you are a son of God, which is a position. And that's what God is after. He's after sons. He's not after just children. He loves his children. And of course, not everybody is a child of God. God is everyone's creator, but he's not everybody's father. I mean, let's face it. Jesus told the Pharisees, you are of your father, the devil. So God has children, but he also has sons. And there's a depth to that. There's a deeper growing into the Lord in that. Over in the book of Colossians, the third chapter, it says that I have died and my life is hidden with Christ in God. Your life is hidden. Did you know that? But it also says your life is hidden with Christ. Your life is hidden with an anointing in the Father. So my life, my purpose, my destiny, what God has said about me is hidden in my anointing. Well, how do I get that out? Well, we'll get to that. But it's hidden. Remember, we speak wisdom that's hidden. That's a mystery. We speak it. Well, how do I do that? We'll get to that. So if I've got something that's hidden, that's on the inside of me, it's not now there's something that's on the outside that's got to get in. There's something on the inside that's got to get out, right? In other words, we've got to bring that forth out of our spirit, man. And I want to become everything that God wants me to become. But here's the thing. Remember, he's a past tense God. So when you are born again and the Spirit of God comes and lives on the inside of you, there's something placed inside of you. Everything from the past tense God has been placed on the inside of you. The thing is, it's in there, but how do I know that? How do I know? Because 1 Corinthians says, hey, we're speaking this wisdom in a mystery, and it's hidden. So how do I, that's almost kind of, you know, how do I get that out? People, as a general rule of thumb, you know, when we pray, and a lot of times it depends on what the situation might be. You know, if it's something that we feel is catastrophic or whatever, you know, of course we can get emotionally entangled in that, but we still go to the Lord in prayer with it. But so let me ask you, if we go to the Lord in prayer and we're upset, do we want God to get upset with us so he's right down here and he understands exactly what we're going through? Because sometimes we do kind of pray like that. Lord, I need you to understand that, blah, 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 blah. But yet he already understands. But we think that he's got to get tied into us emotionally and say, yeah, I'm right there with you. Here's the thing. He already knows. He's just waiting on you. He's waiting on you to make a response to him. He's not going to get down on our level because he's God. But by the same token, we have to look at it from the aspect of, hey, Father, I know who you are. I know what you've done. I know what you've said. I'm going to take that and I'm going to embrace that. And it's real easy for us to get sidetracked when it comes to trying to, and I guess that's a good way to put it, trying to get God to do something. Because remember, it's all past tense to God. All past tense. He's not going to be surprised by anything we tell him. At all. That's why he may, I mean, let's think about it. Just all throughout Scripture, just think about some of the statements he has made. Back to Ecclesiastes, right? He says, he's put eternity in our hearts, but we don't know how to figure out what he does from beginning to end. But yes, 1 Corinthians says that the Holy Ghost is our information center, and he's told us everything we need to know. Well, here's the kicker. He told us everything we need to know in here, but he didn't tell us everything we need to know in here, because this is where our spirit man resides. He doesn't reside up here. When you got born again, this changed. This didn't change. It stayed the same. So you've got all this information that the Holy Ghost has put on the inside of you that you don't understand, or you don't even know. How would you know? Because this don't know anything about it. Okay. So you've got God who has spoken all these things over us, and it's all past tense to him. And then you've got all these things that are in your and my future, and it's still all past tense to him. So how do we get our future out here where we know something about it and that we could understand it? I know I'm kind of repeating myself on some things, but there's a reason for doing that. One of the things that we have to try to have a grasp on is where we live. And by that I mean we live in time. And everything we do has a time or a season to it. God doesn't live in time and seasons. God lives in eternity. Now, in Ecclesiastes, he says, but yeah, he put eternity in here. But we're still walking through times and seasons. And when God speaks, he's sitting in heaven. He's spoken everything that needs to be spoken from the end to the beginning. And he said, okay, it's done. But all that's in heaven. Down here, it's in time. So how do we get the two tied into each other? And that's a frustrating thing, because it's like, well, God, you said you was going to, well, see, as far as he's concerned, it's already done. But yet we're trying to walk it out down here. That's where the rub's at. So God makes statements like, the steps of a good man are ordained by God, right? Well, how can he make those kind of claims? How can he tell Gideon that he's a mighty man of valor, but when he tells him, he's hiding and he's afraid? How can he tell Simon, who is one of the most wishy-washy individuals there ever was, that says, hey, your name is Peter. You're a rock. You just don't know you are. How can God make those kind of claims? How can he even say what he says about you? It's because he lives in eternity, and he's already put all this into existence, into eternity. And it's all past tense to him, but yet it's not to us. See, he calls us as he sees us in our, for lack of a better term, in the final chapter of our life. Here's where I see you. Here's the finished product. That's what he was telling Peter when he called him a rock. Here's what you're going to be. And we found out after the days of Pentecost what happened with Peter. He became a rock, all right. I mean, how many people do you know that walk and their shadow casts on somebody and it heals somebody? I'd say that's pretty phenomenal. I want to make sure I don't miss anything. So everything we do on a daily basis, as far as God's concerned, is in his rearview mirror. Today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, it's all in his rearview mirror. So the scripture also teaches us, and I think it's over in Colossians, that we are to set our mind on things that are above. In other words, you've got to take this and set it on things where he is instead of where you, for lack of a better term, are. Sure, you've got to live your daily life and go to work and do whatever you need to do. But the fact of the matter is, we've got to set our mind on things above. We've got to think on the level that God thinks. Now, you know, don't go crazy on me now. Oh, you want me to be like God? Well, yeah, I do, but I don't want you to be God. I want you to think like God. I want to think like God. Because if I'm thinking like God's thinking, then I've put myself on another level. I'm stepping out of my day-to-day blah, 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 and I'm thinking like he's thinking. Let's go back to this anointing thing. There's all kinds of anointings. There's anointings for people to preach, teach, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, there's just because you have an anointing don't mean you have to do something per se. Okay? What if there's an anointing in your life to run a humongous company, but yet you can't even keep the finances right in your own house? What if you've got an anointing to be a leader of a nation, but you can't even take care of your kids correctly? See, there's all kinds of things out there that God has put on the inside of us that we may or may not know. And by that, I mean, we know it in here, but we don't know it up here because there's a disconnect, if you will. So my question is, what would it be like if we could think on the same level of anointing that's in our life? That'd be awesome. If I could think on the same level that the anointing has been placed inside of me, And here's the thing, you know, yeah, there's one Holy Spirit, but there's all different facets to him. There's refreshings in the Spirit, the Scripture says. Our life is like this. Our moving with God is like this, where really it just needs to be like this all the time. But in fact of the matter, it's like this. Because of the decisions we make and the consequences we have to suffer as a result of that. But it is. It's truly like this. But God has called us to say, okay, you might think you're right here, but obviously you're right here. How do we get from here to here? And I'm going through my life like this, trying to get to here. Or at least I think I'm trying to get there. See, we don't get to a great place just because we've got an anointing in our life. We have to think on that level. Because the Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why it's so important you go to books like Ephesians and find out who you are. How can you think on the level that God wants you to think on if you don't even know? We've got to think on those things. We've got to get other things out, Brother David. We've got to get other things out. We got to cut off the television set and give that time to God. I know at my house, the amount of time the television has been on in the last 3-4 weeks has drastically dropped, has it not? That's right. Most of the time, it don't even come on. Maybe some in the evenings. Most of the time during the day, it don't even come on. Because that's a time consumer. And I personally, about 3-4 weeks ago, made up my mind. I wasn't gonna let day-to-day cares of the world just consume all my time. I made a statement to myself. And I'm so far so good with living to that statement. I'm putting more time in with God every day. Every day. And so what I'll do is, I've got a spare bedroom at my house, and I just go back there and close the door. And just spend time with the Lord. Pray, read my Bible, pray, and then just sit there and be quiet. And see if I can hear what he's saying, because he's always speaking. We're not necessarily listening. Or as the Scripture says, have the ears to hear, because sometimes we have ears to hear and sometimes we don't. But in order to work towards that upward call that's on the inside of us, because remember, God has put eternity in our hearts, we've got to make time to be able to even listen. And don't misunderstand me. I know all about having to work, even on my off days. I'm supposed to have been off on Friday and off on Saturday, and I got called twice on Friday, and I got called once on Saturday, so I understand. And I'm trying to study for today. But we've got to make a diligent effort and say, I'm going to do this, and then do it when it comes to the things of God. Because nobody's going to do it for you. Nobody's going to nudge you. Yeah, you might get some exhortation from somebody, say, you know, how are you doing? Is this going to go? How are you spending time with the Lord? Blah, blah, blah. But you know what? That don't change anything. You've got to make that decision. I've got to make that decision. And then we have to apply it. And guess what? If it ain't but 15 minutes, 15 minutes, 30 minutes. Because those things will grow. Because, see, when you spend time with God, here's the thing about God. The more time you spend with him, he must drop something in you that makes you hungry, because you'll want to spend more time with him. I don't know what that drug is. I call it the love drug. But man, oh man, the more time I spend with him, the more time I want to spend with him. And the less time I want to do other things that I really like to do. Not that any of it was bad, but I just don't want to do it. I want to go spend time with him. Whether it's just cutting on music and worshiping or studying or whatever it is. Let's see if I can get there. What time is it? Yeah, I don't think I'll get there. So we have all this stuff in our heart, but our head isn't able to get a hold to it. So I guess you could say we've got the right heart and the wrong head to a degree. Not that we can't change that, but for most folks, that's where we are. Because most folks, they're saved and they love the Lord, but they don't know anything about where they're going. Or they're frustrated because they know God wants them to do something and they don't know what to do. Well, this is part of that. Because you've got all that God wants you to have in here, but the thing is, we've got to get it out. You know, Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me, and out of his innermost being shall flow rivers. Not like the woman at the well that says, hey, I'll give you water that springs up from a well everlasting. Later on, a few chapters later, he's talking about rivers flowing out of your innermost being. One translation says torrents of water. Not just a river, rivers. And you know what kind of damage a river can do when it's got a lot of water moving? And that's he's elating that and comparing that with us, that what's inside of us that can come out. How do you get that out? All right. I'm just going to jump ahead here. Let's see. Let me make this statement first. You know, the scripture says that the natural mind can't receive the things of God. It has to be renewed. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, hey, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's got to be renewed because there's a bunch of trash in there. Here's the kicker. It says renew. That means make new again. So at one time or another, it didn't need to be renewed, but now it does. And it kind of gives you connotations back to what God had to say about you from the ages past. From 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then what has transpired subsequent to that. Now we got to get it fixed. But he says the natural man can't receive, or the natural mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind. The fleshly mind. Can't handle it. It's an enemy of God. But yet we're trying to get information that's in here out. And in order to do that, something's got to change. So we've got to have a renewing of the mind to break down these structures that have prevented us from being able to discern. And the only person that can do that is you, as far as what those things are. Because only you know you, and only I know I. Just like nobody knows God like the Spirit of God. He's the only one that knows. He's the one that goes in and inquires of the Father and finds out all this information, right? Then God sends him out of eternity, and now he's living inside of us. That's how he knows everything about us. He got all that information, and he brought it, and now he's put it on the inside of you. But yet we're having the trouble getting it out, all right? I've got all this wisdom, but I don't know how to get it out. But here's the thing. Back to the mind. It's these things concerning the mind, it's foolishness. Just think about this for a second. The Word says that you're healed. Now, I'm sure everybody has come across this in your life if you are dealing with the Word and you're trying to rest in the promises of what God has said about you. Where or what happens once you grasp a hold of that, then the war starts, right? And it starts right here. something is trying to talk you out of what the Word already says about you. And let's face it, it ain't necessarily the devil. It's this, because it's unrenewed. See, that's the bad thing about us. We got all this new stuff, but we still got old stuff. We still got old stuff. This part don't change when you're born again, and this part definitely don't change when you're born again. So you got to fix this. Once you fix this to get it working with this, then you can tell this what to do. Because right now, this is telling this what to do and saying, we're not going to pay any attention to what this says. That's the problem, right? That's right. And it's like that for everybody. That's why it's so important that this gets renewed. Okay? So, 1 Corinthians 2. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. 1 Corinthians 14 says, whoops, my finger's not fast enough. Now, remember what I told you earlier, because I'm just having to cut this off because I just don't have time to go through it all. We were talking earlier about speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, 2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. Makes sense. But he speaks to God, for no one understands him. That rightfully so. Somebody speaking in tongues, you ain't got a clue what they're saying unless the Lord gave you the interpretation. Or it happened to be a tongue known of man, and somebody will happen to be in here and just lived in that area that spoke that tongue. But outside of that, basically, you're speaking in a tongue, nobody knows what you're saying except God. However, comma, in the Spirit, he, talking about the person that's doing the speaking, speaks mysteries. Now, we just got through over in 1 Corinthians 2 talking about, hey, we speak hidden mysteries. And this says, when we speak in tongues, we speak mysteries to God. And you know, in order for God to get his word into the earth, guess what? You have to do one thing. Do what I'm doing right now. You got to speak. You got to put a voice to the word or nothing works. Here's the thing. You've got all this stuff on the inside of you. The only way to get the mysteries out are to speak them. The only way to speak them is speak them in the Spirit. Because he who speaks in an unknown tongue or speaks in a tongue is speaking mysteries. And that's what they're talking about over in 1 Corinthians 2. You've got mysteries. We speak hidden wisdom, mysteries. You've heard of the term Jehovah Sneaky? God is very covert when it comes to things sometimes. Hidden mysteries, secret places. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. See, so there's a lot to be said about not so much the tongues, but speaking those things that are on the inside of you out into the atmosphere so they can go forth and do what God said. And it will basically put you in a position to where you can do this more than doing this. Because let's face it, if you got 80 years in your life, let's just say you got 8 chapters, 10 years apiece. God has spoken all those 8 chapters. He don't call you by the first chapter. He looks at chapter 8 and says, this is who you are. This is what I'm calling you, Peter. Rock, Rocky, yo. But yet, back here in chapter 2, your life was a living hell. And then it got real good in chapter 4, and chapter 5 was kind of, eh. But yet all seven of those chapters, when you get to chapter 8, make perfect sense of how you got to chapter 8, because you had to have all seven of them to make it work out to get to chapter 8. And, but yet God is calling you by chapter 8, and you're living 1 through 7 before you get there. But if you're praying out the mysteries of God, you will get there. But if you're not getting the hidden wisdom out into the atmosphere, how would we ever get there? And look how many people are in the body of Christ that are frustrated because I know the Lord wants me to do something. I don't know what it is. I don't know what I'm supposed to be. That's a very common term. What does he want me to do in the body of Christ? I don't know. But yet, he's already has the plan laid out there. Remember, those who he called, he's ordained. Those who he's ordained, he has justified. Those who he has justified, he has glorified. It's all past tense with him. But yet, here we are trying to walk it all out in the earth, and it's confusing, and we don't know what to do. But here's the thing. He gave us information central called the Holy Ghost with all this stuff on the inside of us. And the only way to get it out here where it can function, because if you can't get it into the earth, it can't function. Yeah, it's in eternity, but we're walking in time and seasons. And in order to get eternity working in time and seasons, you've got to pray the things out that are on inside of you and get them out here. And the way you do that is you pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, and pray in the Holy Ghost. I can't express that to you enough. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to pray in the Holy Ghost. Well, I ain't got time to pray in the Holy Ghost. I beg to differ. I have a 12 to 15 minute ride to work at 4:45 through the week. I pray for 12 to 15 minutes. Then I have another 10 to 12 minutes walking to get to where I need to go. That's another 10 to 12 minutes. I pray in the Holy Ghost. So I get 20, 25 minutes in the mornings, and I get 20 to 25 minutes in the afternoon every day I go to work. When I take a shower, I can pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, that can get expensive, because if you like real hot water, that meter will spin. But however long you take a shower, you can pray in the Holy Ghost. You ain't got to get in some dark, quiet room. You can pray in the Holy Ghost anytime. Do you know you can pray in the Holy Ghost and watch a football game? You can. Because all you got to do is just sit there, and while that game's on, you can just kind of pray in the Holy Ghost like this right here. Nobody can hear you but yourself. And guess what? You don't even have to pray loud enough to hear yourself, because you can hear yourself no matter how loud you are. And the fact is, it's going out into the earth. And the Father hears it. The Spirit of God hears it. So it don't matter. So I said all that and went all around and said all this stuff. You got to pray in the Holy Ghost, because you got to get what's on the inside of you out. Excuse me.
No, I don't need to go to the bathroom. Okay. In Proverbs 25:2, it says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter."
Search out a matter. And here's the easy part for us with regards to this. Our searching is doing what I'm doing right now in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost. If you don't have time for anything, you have time for praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay? Yeah, you can shop. I'm going to Food Lion and praying in the Holy Ghost. Okay, bring back a cart full of food, will you? I mean, just think about it. In our daily life, how much do you do that you could actually pray in the Holy Ghost while you're doing it? It's a lot of time. A lot of time. We just don't think about that. Even when I'm at work, I'm a fortunate individual. I work in an 8x8 cell, cube, by myself. I mean, there's folks close by, but I'm by myself. I can pray in the Holy Ghost all day long. Do I do it? No. I'm trying, because I get to praying and the phone will ring. Well, I can't. It's hard to pray in the Holy Ghost and talk to somebody on the phone. I'll tell you that right now. It's difficult to do that. But when I hang that phone up, you know, I'm sitting here with a keyboard doing my thing, right? I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. Or sometimes I've got worship music on. Now, you got to watch that, because then I'll quit working. Because sometimes I'll get back there and I'm like this, and the tears will come down every once in a while, but I'm not getting no work done. So I have to be kind of careful about that. But praying in the Holy Ghost, I can pray in the Holy Ghost. When I wash a vehicle, I can pray in the Holy Ghost. Work on the lawnmower, pray. When I'm cutting my grass, that's a good time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Real good time to pray in the Holy Ghost. I mean, there's a lot of time, folks. We've got a lot of time. We just don't realize we have a lot of time. And you can get to the point where you can read this right here, and at the same time you're reading it, you can pray in the Holy Ghost and understand everything that you're reading. Now, at first, it's difficult. I can vouch for that. But the fact remains, you can read Scripture and pray in the Holy Ghost. See, that's proof to you that there's one of these and there's one of these. Because what's coming out of here is coming out of here. But what you're reading is being done by this up here. Okay? I'm going to get you your own mic. Go ahead.
No. There was a study that was done of people praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues.
Yes,
and on the brain waves, when they would pray in tongues, there was very little movement on it, activity from it that showed up. But when they prayed with what they had in their head, just praying regular, it would be all over the place. So that they said that was proof to them that there is a difference in which kind of prayer. Because I mean, I like reading studies like that. So it was.
Yeah, it's a disconnect. It's a true disconnect between your soul and your spirit, man. All right. Well, I'm gonna stop right there. If you don't get anything, excuse me, out of what I said, is there's something on the inside of you that needs to come out. Right. As a man thinks, so is he. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you need to be praying in the Spirit every opportunity. And guess what? It's okay if you miss it. Oh, I was going to pray in the Holy Ghost while I was cutting grass, and I forgot about doing it. Well, guess what? This is the one that made you forget, not this. So there has to be a conscious effort to want to pray. So I encourage you to make a conscious effort to give the time to pray in the Spirit of God and let the things that are on the inside of you be brought into the realm of the earth to do the function that it was designed to do. And it's on your behalf. And guess what? A lot of times the Holy Ghost will kind of just, hey, I need you to pray kind of thing. Yield to that. Because it might not be for you. It might be for somebody else. Okay, but pray, pray, pray. All right, now I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you that you have given us a mechanism that we can speak into the earth such that we can be who you said we could be. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you to bring to remembrance things that have been said here today to everyone within the sound of my voice, that they would make a conscious effort to pray. Pray. And even if they can't pray in the Spirit, pray. Pray the Scripture. And Father, we expect to hear some results of praying in the Spirit, of growth by this body. And I look forward to hearing it. And I give you praise and thanks. And I love you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.